Good morning to you again. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. I want to thank you for joining us on the radio broadcast this morning. It is a blessing to be able to bring this radio series to you on Bible prophecy. We are currently, we're getting ready to start the 28th sermon in this Bible prophecy series. And last week we started the series on the Satanic Trinity, which we identified as Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. The theme of this series is that Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. As Christians, we should not be ignorant of his devices. He is our adversary. We need to know our enemy. We need to be thoroughly familiar with what methods that he uses to attack us individually and to attack the church. Before we get started this morning, I want to open us up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, again for another beautiful day, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation, Lord. I thank you for that third Friday night in August of 1992, Lord, when you delivered me from the worst person that I know of, Lord. You delivered me from myself. I thank you, Lord, for convicting me of my sin. I thank you, Lord, for the gift of repentance, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for saving me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to praise you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. I want to pray too, Lord, that you will bless and protect during this particular sermon series, Lord. We want to thank you again for the gift of salvation. Tell you, Lord, that we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go back and pick up once again in Isaiah chapter 14, which is where we closed out at last week. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, and I'm going to pick up in, let's go to verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 14. And remember here that we are talking about Satan, about Lucifer. It starts out at the first of the chapter, and it talks about the king of Babylon. But the king of Babylon is nothing more than a type, if you will, of Satan in this particular instance. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee, to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. And as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down in the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Now, in the context of Isaiah chapter 14, which we just got through reading, verses 4 through 11, the fallen king of Babylon is obviously a type of Lucifer. I've already said that. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 20, we see that. In verses 13 and 14, we see Satan's great sin is pride. And that'd be in all caps and all bolds is what you'd do. And underline. In these verses, we see the pride of Satan is manifested in the five I wills. His statement, "I will ascend into heaven," indicates that his domain included both heaven and earth. His statement, "I will exalt my throne above the stars," indicates that he had great authority both in heaven and in earth. And a lot of people forget that. You look at that, Satan had a lot of power. He had a lot of authority. His statement, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation," indicates his desire to rule over the kingdom of God. His statement, "I will ascend above the heights," shows his desire to be exalted above all. His statement, "I will be like the Most High," indicates his desire to be in the place of God and to receive the worship that belongs only to God. According to 2 Thessalonians 2:4, his wicked desire to be like the Most High God will result in him appearing in the rebuilt temple as God. Let's go and read that particular verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, what is God's response to all of these I wills? He says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, where thou wilt burn in the lake of fire forever." That's God's sentence upon Satan. Now, another misconception about Satan is that he is the ruler of hell. I want to tell you today that Satan is not the ruler of hell. At the present time, Satan has the freedom to move back and forth between the earth and the throne room in the third heaven in the presence of God. According to Job chapters 1 and 2 and 1 Peter 5:8, he has, Satan moves about seeking whom he may confuse, accuse, abuse, and devour. At this present time, Satan is not bound in hell as some folks would have you to believe. He actively seeks to resist the Lord Jesus Christ in every way possible. Let's go and scripturally prove the statement that I just made. Satan is not bound. Turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 1 and let us begin reading in verse number 6. Job chapter 1 verses 6 through 12. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Okay, let's go up into the second chapter now of the book of Job, and let's read verses 1 through 7 there to show you once again that Satan is free to roam this earth, and he traverses back and forth between the earth and heaven. Job chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Notice that that's the second time that God has made that statement about Job. He's bragging on Job. And still he holdeth fast his integrity. Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. God said there was no reason to destroy Job. And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Now that sounds to me pretty much like Satan pretty much has the run of the earth and runs back and forth. Another instance of it. Now let's go into pull up a scripture in the New Testament and put this thing to rest where people say that Satan is bound. Nothing could be further from the truth. He's free to roam about. And by the way, he exercises that freedom too in a very powerful way. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Let me read it again. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, and 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, warns us that we must be ever vigilant to protect ourselves against the devices of the devil. Let's read that scripture again. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11 said, Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. If you're ignorant of his devices, you need to break out your Bible and start studying, and study it from cover to cover, and you'll find out how powerful Satan is. Now in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ stated that Satan would be cast down from heaven. This verse states this, Luke chapter 10, verse 18, And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now this is a foreview of that which is prophesied to happen in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Turn down your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Verse 7, And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Does that sound like Satan is bound or has been bound? The Bible says that he accuses the brethren before God day and night. So he's back and forth. Now there are at least 8 different characteristics of Satan that describe his character. Number 1, Satan is an egotistical being that promotes pride. And we saw that now in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, Ezekiel 28, verse 17, and also 1 Timothy 3, 6. Let's go read those verses. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14 say this, For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That shows his pride there, folks. Ezekiel 28, verse 17 says this, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 says this, talking about leaders within the church, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, listen to that, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. That pride is a byproduct of the devil. That is a character trait of the devil. The number two characteristic of the devil is that is this. According to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, Job chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, Job chapter 2, verses 3 through 7, and Jude 9, though Satan is not omnipotent, he does have great power to promote his agenda aggressively. Let's go and look at those scriptures. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now turn back in your Bibles back to Job chapter 1 once again. This is dealing with the aggressiveness once again of Satan. Listen to how Satan talks to God. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon him self put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You see, he's aggressive here. We see it again in Job chapter 2, verses 3 through 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest against him to destroy him without a cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Do you see the aggressiveness of Satan here? Turn it back into the New Testament again, and let's look at Jude verse 9. Jude verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a riling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Listen to that. That the Michael the archangel dared not bring a riling accusation against Satan, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Yet the people within the charismatic movement so lightly take upon themselves to rebuke the devil and to rebuke demons and stuff. They better be very, very careful when an archangel dares not to bring a riling accusation against the devil. It is a very dangerous thing that the Pentecostals and Charismatics do when they so lightly rebuke the devil, when you consider that the archangel Michael dared not bring a riling accusation against Satan. When you start entering the domain of Satan and his devils, you had better be prayed up and under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost of God. If you're not, you're going to get in some serious trouble. According to Matthew chapter 17, verse 21, and Mark chapter 9, verse 29, there are certain devils that cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. And I want to say this, folks. I don't see a lot of people praying and fasting today. So they have no spiritual power. And when they try to take on Satan, they're in some very, very dangerous territory. Very serious thing to do that. Now, the number three characteristic of Satan is that according to Genesis 3:1, Genesis 3:6, Genesis 3:14, Ezekiel 28 verses 15 through 17, and also Isaiah chapter 14 verses 11 through 14, and also 1 John 2:13, Satan is also the author of sin in God's creation and the great promoter of sin in humanity. I want to say this too. Many times we blame the devil for that which we do. We say that the devil made me do it. But I want to remind you, the devil may have made you do it, but God holds you personally responsible for your sin. You have the power to resist the temptation if you are a saved individual. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 3 and see that Satan is the author and promoter of sin. Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And then up in verse 6 of chapter 3 of Genesis. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. See, Satan promoted this particular thing. And we know from Ezekiel chapter 28 that he was guilty of sin. And we'll look at that in just a moment here. Now, verse 14 of Genesis chapter 3. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, that kind of indicates that to me that though Satan is called the serpent, that there was a point in time where he stood uprightly. And this was his sentence for that which he had done. Now turn in your Bibles again to Ezekiel chapter 28. We have hit Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah chapter 14 pretty heavy so far in this series. Ezekiel 28, starting in verse 15, talking about Satan. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. That word iniquity is talking about sin there. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Listen to that again, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Now let's go over into the New Testament and look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. The wicked one there is Satan. Now, the number four characteristic of Satan is this. And we know this from Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, John chapter 8, verse 44, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, Ephesians 6, verse 11, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 8, we learn that Satan is a wily and crafty creature who is the master of deceit and the father of lies and the father of murder. He is the father of all murderers. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. A lot of these verses, we'll hit them again and again and again. I want to drive home the fact of Satan and how dangerous he is. We need to know our enemy. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? There's the deception, folks. John 8, 44. The Lord Jesus Christ, dealing with the religionists in his day here. Ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There's the deception again. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. His devices involve murder, lying, and deceit. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in unto them. Should shine unto them. That's Satan deceiving them again. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Remember I said he's a wily creature. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's not nine chapters, folks, in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Even him whose sin is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now turn up in your Bibles into Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. And we'll be closing out here for today. Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to the battle of the the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So we have talked about several of the characteristics of Satan here already today. And I want to remind you that he is a very deceptive creature, and that his ultimate goal is to usurp the authority of God. He is an aggressive creature. He is a great promoter of sin in humanity. And he is also the great deceiver. I want to thank you for joining us today, and may the Lord richly bless you.